between you and your prayers. So as I mentioned, as we've been going through this this journey, and we've really seen God's hand in this, and of course we shouldn't be surprised, but it's just it's been a great reminder of God's sovereignty and that He is in control. And we know that you know, the heart of man plans his way, but it's the Lord that establishes his steps. We know this, and we've seen this in a mighty way, actually, over the last few weeks, that the Lord has been laying out steps for us. It says in Ephesians 2:10, you know, we are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works which He has prepared for us in advance to do. And He's just been laying out some other ones that for us to do. And right throughout the history, God has used persecution to grow His church. We have seen it. We saw it in Old Testament times when it was the church was Israel, and you saw how he used persecution in Egypt to rally and move. And then in the New Testament, right after Jesus raises from the tomb and he says to the disciples, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But wait for the Holy Spirit to come." And the disciples are like, let's go. He said, no, wait. And they waited for 2 weeks. You know, why are they waiting for 2 weeks? In those 2 weeks, there was a Jewish festival called the Festival of Weeks, which is like a harvest festival. So all the Jewish people were coming into Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem was jam-packed, that's when the Holy Spirit was set off. And literally the fire in the belly and the fire on the tongues of the disciples, and the church starts growing, and all of these people that had been brought into Jerusalem could now hear the message. And then what happened? The martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was martyred. He was stoned to death. And then the passage here, Acts 8:1. So in Acts 7, Stephen is persecuted. He's stoned to death. And the believers are frightened. The new believers are frightened. And what happens? It says here, "And there rose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered." Guess where they went to? Judea, Samaria, and actually the ends of the earth, which was exactly what Jesus had said would happen. God used the persecution to scatter them, brought them all into Jerusalem, lit the fuse, got them all excited, thousands and thousands believed, and then they were scattered. And the very next passage, we hear how Philip goes to Samaria. He meets the Ethiopian eunuch. He spreads the gospel, shares the good news to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch is baptized, goes back, takes the church to Africa. And then, would you believe, doubting Thomas, the one that put his finger in to say, I don't believe. He is the person that they believe started the church in India. And in fact, when I'm in India and looking around, I see lots of St. Thomas churches. And they believe that it was the scattering of the disciples through persecution that actually brought the church to places like India and Asia, which today is on fire. And Pastor Gus's church is standing on the shoulders of those churches. And so we believe that God is using this persecution of Pastor Gus's churches to actually redirect us to new areas to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, which is what we've been called to do. And so I just, in the last 5 minutes, I just want to share with you four areas that we have just started the ministry in and how we see God's hand in this. So the very first one, this is in northeast India. This is in the Himalayas part of India. And this cute little building here looks like a little Wendy house or something. It's very, very cute. This is a church. And standing in front of it is Pastor Terence and Pastor Roshan. In fact, we will be training them online tomorrow to start Global Fingerprints. And we've been talking to these church planters in this part of India for the last 2 years. And would you believe the day that Pastor Gus called us and said, Simon, they're closing down my license to receive funding, was the very same day that we had committed our partnership in the northeast of India. And we were thinking, where are we going to find all the sponsors for this church? And I'm like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And how are we getting involved? And so this is, say, in the Himalayas area of India. The next picture, they actually have built a little classroom. It's just sitting on the hillside. They just leveled out the land and they built a classroom. They're already teaching children with the few resources they have. Very, very poor area of India. And these pastors have a fantastic ministry. And then at the bottom of the hills is a city called Siliguri. And they actually have set up not just a classroom, but a little school. And they are feeding the poorest of the poor. These are the untouchables at the bottom of the hierarchy, the caste system in India. And God has asked us to join with them. And they are only able to feed a few and a small amount in the slums. And with Global Fingerprints, we will be able to help them reach many, many different parts of these communities that at the moment do not have the gospel. So God has brought us in. They're already sowing the seeds, but we see God is directing us to help water the seeds that they are sowing. And so we'll be starting that ministry very, very soon. Now, the next one is actually starting right now. This is a new area in Indonesia. So this is a Muslim country. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country on the planet, if you're not familiar with it. There is 280 million Muslims in Indonesia. And we have one location on a big island where we have the ministry. And God is taking us to this area. It's a rural area in Indonesia. And the photograph on the left-hand side is actually where people live at the rubbish dump, the trash heap. And the poorest families just put up a shack next to the trash heap from the city. And all these trucks come and dump the trash from the city. And then when the truck goes, they go through the trash. And in their minds, can I eat it? Can I recycle it? Or can I sell it? Because that's my survival. And the children do that all day. But the pastors have set up schools and classrooms to start educating these children and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And it's a beautiful outreach that we've been connected to. And so you can see the classroom in the middle. I have to just tell you this. So this here, you see these three young ladies with their Muslim cultural dress. Those three young ladies are singing at the top of their voices when I took this photograph, the Christian hymn, The Goodness of God. You know The Goodness of God? Yeah. If my voice was better, I'd sing it, but I love you too much to do that, so I can clear a room very quickly. But these three children are singing The Goodness of God, and you see the passion on their faces as they are declaring and worshiping to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It is beautiful. And we have the first 40 children that we will be sponsoring this month coming out of this community. And again, this is an area that God has directed us to. We were there just, we took these photographs. We were there just recently. So that's two areas where we see God's hand in this. The third one is quite amazing. So in the country of Laos, Laos is the second poorest country in Asia. It's kind of snuck between Vietnam, Thailand, and Myanmar. And this country is extremely poor. It is a Buddhist communist country. It is controlled by the Chinese government in a way that is like a vice. There's no other way to describe it. They are really in a very difficult place. And you can see the house on the left-hand side there. Very poor. It's a rural area. And the children have very little schooling, and it's really tough. The lady in the middle, beautiful lady with a little baby there, she's dressed in the cultural dress. This is the Hmong community. There's lots of Hmong communities in the Twin Cities. There's a couple of Hmong churches from immigrants that have come to the US, particularly in the 70s. And so we've been drawn to this community. And we set up a global fingerprint site in the capital about a year ago. And we're now moving to the north. And in the north of this country, these chaps here are the pastors. Well, unfortunately, we gate-crashed their Bible study, which is why they're all standing there with their Bibles. They were having a Bible study. These are the pastors that are caring for this community. And we had agreed that we would try to find sponsors for 50 children in this community. This was about 2.5 months ago. And so they got all excited and they trained the care workers and they told the care workers to find the children. And we said, let's find 50 children and we'll see if we can find some sponsors. 280 children they loaded up onto the website to be sponsored. And we're like, where are we going to find sponsors for 280 children? We thought we might be able to find a church to help support 50 children. And we've been praying and praying, Lord, why 280? It was very clear we were meant to have 50 children. And then we heard the news that the Canterbury and Kolkata ministry was going to close down and we were going to reach out to all of the sponsors to find other children that they could sponsor. And then we're, so that's why, God, you allowed 280 children to be registered here. Okay, you were already gone before us and we didn't even know it. And so now we're rapidly contacting the sponsors of the children in Canterbury and Kolkata to say, look, unfortunately we cannot continue in this area, but God has opened the door somewhere else. And this is one of those areas. And then lastly, in the Philippines, this I had to share this photograph with you because this here is what they call the road to the ends of the earth. Remember, Jesus said, you will be my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And locally, they call this road the road to the ends of the earth. It's on an island in the Philippines. It just keeps going and going and going until finally it gets to this little point. And at the very point is this community. And if you look in the next slide, this is the church. Yeah, it's a blue tarpaulin. We took this photograph. I'm standing about here. I got sweat dripping down my back. It's about 105 degrees. And these children are under this blue tarp. And it's Sunday school. And this is the church. And these kids are really poor. This is a very, very difficult area. And then if you look in the next slide, this now is exactly the same location and we've already helped to provide, this is just being built, this is a week ago. We're building a Global Fingerprints church right here so that the kids can actually have somewhere that's a little bit more humane for them to be worshipping, but also to provide a safe refuge where they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the local church. And the pastors at the ends of the earth, as they call it, are serving in these communities. So we have, I think, 63 children here in this area that are waiting to be sponsored. So the Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's just a reminder that as much as we love this ministry and we're so connected to it, it is God that grows. It's God that grows the church, and our job is to be faithful for that. So last passage I want to share with you, and then I realize we've run over a little bit, so my apologies. But this has been a reminder for me that, as Paul says, you know, one of us may sow, one of us may water, but it's God that really grows the church. And so who executes justice for the oppressed? Who is it who gives food to the hungry? The answer, it's the Lord that sets the prisoners free. It's the Lord that opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down. It's the Lord that loves the righteous. It's the Lord that watches over the sojourners, the immigrants, the travelers. He upholds the widows and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. So it's a privilege for us. God's plan A is to use this church of his to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he has no plan B. He's sovereign. He's in control. We are plan A, my friends. We're all broken human beings in broken churches, in broken countries and whatever. And he is using us to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And our role is just to be faithful stewards of the blessings that he's given each of you and given us, and to use them for his purposes. And sometimes it seems hard. But we know that he is in control, and his plan will be forever faithful, and will of course be ultimately victorious. We can see that in the book of Revelation. So I take encouragement from that, and I'm sorry that the news of what's going on in Canterbury is tough, but have faith. The Lord has got that, and he's directing us to new lands to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those that are in need. Amen. Amen. Let me just close as quickly in a prayer. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you do have a plan A. And we thank you the privilege it is that you invite us as your church into this. We pray, Lord, that you bless each and every person here in this congregation, Lord. May they just take that blessing and may it pour out of them to others here in Hackensack, in Minnesota, the US, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, use us, not for our own benefit, but Lord, use us to bring glory and honor to you. And we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.